Do you love Jesus this morning? So, you know, I was thinking as they were, you know, singing, "Give Me Jesus." It doesn't matter what we have, it doesn't matter what we don't have. You know, when it comes down to it, as long as you can say, "I have Jesus," that's what matters the most. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for what He's done for us. Our family's been extremely blessed here in the last few weeks. You know, we got to baptize Brantley last week, and it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus and no other. I'm so thankful for that. That it's nothing I'm able to do. It's nothing my wife or any of my other family is able to do, but it's all because of Jesus, and I'm thankful for that this morning. We're continuing in our series, Upper Room Faith, this morning, and we'll go to John chapter 9. You know, so many times we get ourselves so caught up and so wound up in everything. We get ourselves so caught up and so concerned about the things going on around us. And it seems like life gets so cluttered that we kind of lose sight of where we're at. We lose sight of who it is that we serve and what we're doing. And we, you know, kind of get ourselves just so bogged down and so bombarded with everything else that we sometimes forget about Jesus a little bit. We kind of put Him on the back burner every now and then, and we just don't pay a whole lot of attention. But if you'll go with me to John chapter 9, we'll start in the first verse. And it says, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said unto him, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam,' which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he,' others said, 'He is like him,' but he said, 'I am he.' Therefore said they unto him, 'How were thine eyes opened?' He answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight.'" Think about that. I went and washed and received sight. That's what took place in this guy's life. Then say unto him, 'Where is he?' He said, 'I know not.'" We'll talk this morning. Upper Room Faith sees Jesus. And we see this man here. You know, he was blind from birth. There was nothing, you know, wasn't some traumatic accident, something that took place in his life. But this man was blind from birth. And Jesus and the disciples are walking by. And the disciples posed a pretty good question to Jesus. And they asked him, you know, "Master, who did sin that this man is blind? Was it him or was it his parents?" And during this time, it was fairly commonly held that sicknesses and illnesses and sufferings and stuff were a result of sin. But they had a problem with that here. See, most of the time they were thinking, okay, you know, sicknesses, illnesses come about because of sin. Well, this man hadn't had a chance to sin. He was born blind. So it kind of shot holes through their whole ideology, through their whole thinking. You know, well, who was it? Who messed up here that caused this guy to be blind? Who messed up that he's not able to see anything? And Jesus pretty much said, this man and his parents, nobody messed up, nobody sinned, but that the works of God may be manifest. Nobody sinned and nobody caused this guy to be blind. He said, but God's going to get the glory for what's about to take place. So many times in our life, we don't understand what's taking place. We don't understand the things that are going on around us. But you know what? God is able to get the glory from even the worst situations that we might face. God is able to get the glory from the things that we go through, even when we're not looking to Him, when we're not looking at Him. And that's exactly what's taking place here. This guy can't see nothing. He's not able to tell what's going on around him. And Jesus said, you know what? God's going to get the glory for it. And he told him, he said, you know, I'm going to work the works of the Father that sent me. I'm going to do what God has sent me to do. I don't care about what caused this or what's happening, but I'm doing what the Father sent me to do. And that's, you know, that's the kind of attitude when we, you know, talk about upper room faith and we talk about, you know, what it means to have that upper room faith. It means trusting in God and doing what He calls us to do no matter what the situation might be. It means following Him no matter where He says to go, no matter where He decides to send us. And we have to stand up and do what God has called us to do. And Jesus said, you know what, while I'm here, I'm going to do what He's asked me to do. While I've got the opportunity right now, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And this, you know, God's going to man and for what's taking place with Him. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then He does something that most of us would probably get really mad at. He spit on the ground and made some clay and stuck it in this guy's eye. Now, this guy didn't know who Jesus was, okay? And we'll see that a little later on, but he didn't know who Jesus was. Most of us would get mad enough if a friend spit on the ground and made some mud and stuck it in your eye. But somebody you don't know walks up to you and spits in your eyes and makes a little bit of mud, you're going to be pretty upset about it. You're going to be probably pretty agitated about it. But this guy, he didn't say nothing. He didn't do nothing. Jesus, he spit on the ground, and he made the clay, and he anointed this guy's eyes, and he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And you see what this guy did? He went. It wasn't that he questioned him. He didn't worry about what was taking place. He didn't get upset and aggravated at him. He didn't know who he was. But something compelled him that he needed to go. He didn't understand exactly who this guy was walking by, but I'm sure he heard the conversation going on of the disciples asking, you know what, Master, who messed up? Who sinned? Was it this guy or was it his parents? Who was the one that made the mistake? And he heard the whole conversation going on, although he couldn't see Jesus. Although he couldn't physically see Him right there, he knew there was something about this man. There was something that compelled him. He knew there was something about him that he needed to listen. Some of you might be sitting there this morning and you may not sit and think, you know what? I don't know a whole lot about church. I don't know a whole lot about God, and I sure don't know a whole lot about the Bible. But yet something's compelling you that you need to do something this morning. Something inside of you is telling you that, you know what? Maybe there is something to this Jesus. Maybe there is something to this God that we hear so much about, and maybe that's something I need to look into. And you're sitting and wondering about that this morning. Listen, I'll tell you, that's not me standing up here telling you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit drawing you. It has nothing to do with the worship team standing up here and singing. And it's not them telling you, but the Holy Spirit leads. And as He begins to impress upon their heart what to sing and how to lay things out and what to do, God begins to speak to us and He begins to move in our lives. And it's up to us to make that decision to follow Him or not. It's up to us to make that decision of whether or not we want to do what God has asked us to do. And He tells him here, He says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Said he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Didn't have a clue. Now, I'm sure he wanted to go wash his eyes out anyhow. Somebody spits in your eyes, you're going to try to get cleaned up one way or another. But Jesus told him to go wash, and he went, and he washed, and he came back seeing. He didn't tell him he was going to receive his sight. He didn't tell him what was going to take place. And so many times we want to question God, and we worry about what's going on, because God doesn't tell us what's going to happen. He doesn't have to. He already knows what's going to happen. The only one that matters that knows is Him, and that's all we have to worry about. As long as we're following Him, I promise you, you're going to be on the right path and things are going to turn out the way God wants them to, not the way we want them to. This guy wasn't asking and saying, well, you know what? You spit my eyes. Why do I need to go down there? He just went and did it. We've got to stop asking questions. Upper Room Faith, sometimes there's another series, but Upper Room Faith doesn't ask questions. We sit and we worry so many times and we want to know, well, God, but why? We act like a little kid. But why? Because I said so. But why? Because it's what's best for you. But why? And we, I can imagine he gets so frustrated with us. Because we sit and we want to know why. It doesn't matter the why. It matters the who, and that who is Jesus Christ. And if we would just follow and listen to what he says. And so he went and he came back seeing. So all of a sudden, the Upper Room Faith, this guy's seeing Jesus. He's standing before him. He's going to stand before the man that just spit in his eye and get him back his sight. He comes back seeing and is able to stand before this guy that he didn't know before, that he wasn't sure who he was, and yet he stands there and is able to see what's going on. And it said that the neighbors, therefore, and they which beforehand had seen him, said, is not this he that sat and begged? The neighbors and everybody that used to know this guy, they looked and they seen him and thought, you know what, ain't this one that sat and begged? Isn't this that one that was blind? And And said the son that said, this is he, and others said he is like him. But he said, I am he. They noticed that something was different about this guy. See, when you begin to see Jesus, things about you begin to change. When you see Jesus, things all of a sudden are different. Maybe his physical appearance didn't look completely different. You guys probably all look pretty much the same. Those of you that have trusted Christ as your Savior, you probably still look the same as you did the day that you accepted him. But you know what? Unless you've done it when you was a little kid and growing up. But your physical appearance in general hasn't changed. There's nothing different about you. But because of Christ being in your life, because of the presence of having God in your life, there's something noticeably different about you. Do you realize it or not? People around you are going to see that there's something different about you. And that's exactly what was taking place here. Is this guy, even though he was blind, he has his sight back now. Obviously, that's a real big indicator that something's different about him. But they notice there's something different about this guy. And they begin to talk, isn't this him? And some people say, well, it's kind of like him. And maybe it looks like him. But you know what? He stood up and said, I'm him. I'm him. I'm the one that something was changed about. He probably didn't understand the whole process and what was taking place when Jesus told him to go wash. He didn't understand when Jesus spit in his eyes and made the clay and done all that stuff. He didn't understand what was going on. And so many of us worry about following God and doing what He's called us to do because we don't understand the process. I had the privilege of baptizing two people here last week. One of them didn't know what saved was. Still doesn't. You ask him about saved, salvation, redeemed, trusting Christ, you say any of that stuff, you ain't going to have a clue. It was Brantley. Doesn't have a clue about any of those words. Well, why'd you baptize him? Because he can look at me and say, I've got Jesus in my heart. It doesn't matter the big words. You don't have to understand. You don't have to have it all down and go to seminary and know everything and have all the words and have, understand the Bible from front to back and quote Scripture and have it all memorized. It doesn't matter what all's taking place. It doesn't matter how much you know as long as you know Jesus. That's what matters. He sat down and took us from, as I said, all the way from the garden all the way up to the cross and he told us why it is that we need to be saved, except he says, I've got Jesus in my heart. And, it means so much, and we worry sometimes about, well, I don't know. I don't understand all of it. I know maybe God's speaking and working in my life. I know God maybe is doing something. He's calling me, and yeah, I probably need to trust Him, but I just don't understand it all yet. Neither did He. What you need to understand is, I've got Jesus in my heart. That's what matters. This guy, he probably didn't understand how the whole process worked that all of a sudden I was blind and now I can see. He tells them that. He starts getting grilled after this took place. I mean, they absolutely wore him out asking questions. And he went before everybody, took him before the Pharisees. And he sat there and they asked him, the neighbors and everybody that knew him before said, how is it that you can see now? Here's all he knew. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He said, and I went and washed and I received sight. We make it so hard in our minds and we make it so complicated. I went. And we came to church. You're sitting here today. You're watching this Facebook feed. You're doing, you're hearing this one way or another. You've went. You're there. I washed. When we make that decision that, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. When we make that decision that, I've got all this stuff going on in my life. I've got all these things taking place and there's so much happening right now and I'm just not sure how to handle it. And we put our trust and faith in Him that God is going to guide and lead us. That's washing. And when we begin to understand after that's all took place that we've completely put our faith in Him. That we've given ourselves over to Him and that He is finally in control. That's when you truly begin to see. That's when you're going to start understanding. You're going to receive your sight and know that what God is doing in your life. And they asked him, they said, where is he? He says, I don't know. I don't know. And they took him before the Pharisees. And the Pharisees began to ask the same question. And they started putting two and two together and realized that this man was healed on the Sabbath. And so they began to say, this guy's not of God because he healed on the Sabbath. If he were of God, he wouldn't have done this. this whole chapter 9 is about all this, and we're not going to read it all, but we're going to skim through some of this because this story is amazing at what took place and how that God can work in somebody's life and to restore their sight and to allow them to see Him and allow them to see what He is able to do. And so they begin questioning Him about all this stuff, and the Pharisees, they asked Him again, and He told them, says, He put clay upon my eyes, and I went and I washed, and I can see. And they still didn't believe Him, and they weren't sure, and they were questioning that this man was even of God because He'd done this on the Sabbath. The Pharisees knew the law, knew what it was supposed to be. And so they didn't believe anything, and so they called His mom and dad. You know you're in big trouble when mom and dad get called in. You know you're in trouble when people are questioning you and you're obviously not giving them the answer they want, so they call mom and dad on you. And his parents came, they basically asked him, says, is this your son? They said, well, yeah. And he was born blind, but we don't know how he's able to see now. See, they'd already determined in their hearts that if anybody professed Jesus Christ, if any man said this man was Christ, they was kicking him out of the synagogue. His parents were kind of in face here and kind of making sure that they were going to be okay. They didn't want in trouble for this. They didn't know what their son had been up to, what he had done. They know that he used to be blind, but now he's got sight and he can see everything. And so they weren't going to get themselves in trouble. They said, you know what, he's of age. Why don't you ask him? You just go talk to him. We know he used to be blind. We don't know how he can see now. But he used to be blind. So go talk to him. And so back to the drawing board they go, and they just keep asking him over and over. They come back and ask him again. And verse 24, it says, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, you know, I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I'm not real sure. I don't have a whole lot of details about this man. But I know one thing. He came and touched me. My life's not been the same since. You may not understand a whole lot about God. You may not understand a whole lot about church. But you know what? If you just give him a try and allow him to touch your life, you're not going to be the same. You'll get up walking. You'll be a lot better off for it. And it's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be great and wonderful. Begins to work and to move in your life. Things begin to change. You start looking at things different. You start feeling different. And you start following Him in a different way. Because upper room faith sees Jesus. You don't see all the mess and the stuff like it used to be. He said, I don't know who He is. I don't know what He is. All I care about is my life ain't the same anymore. You don't have to be able to explain it all. And they kept questioning Him about it and asking Him again. And finally, He kind of got smart with them. He kind of starts smarting off to them, and it got him in a little bit of trouble. He said, well, I've told you, when they asked Him again, he said, I've told you already. I've told you already what He's done. Do you want to be His disciples? That didn't sit real well with them. And so they kind of got after Him, and He goes into telling them, you know, why He thought this man was able to do this. And in verse, I think, 33, he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. If this guy wasn't who he said he was, if this man wasn't really Jesus, if he didn't have something to do with God, he wouldn't have been able to do this. I wouldn't have been able to see. So many times we try all manner of things. We try all manner of things trying to be able to, fix ourselves, trying to fix our problems. We self-medicate. We do all these different things. We run from things. We try to hide from them. You can't hide from everything. You can't run. You can sit there and close your eyes and the problem's still going to be sitting there in front of you. You can climb in bed and stick your head under the covers and the problem's still going to be there waiting when you get out. You can do all these things and you're still going to have to face it. But yet when Jesus is standing there with you, you don't have to fight alone. You don't have to stay in the face of the line. When we would just finally stop that running and stop that giving up, and he begins to explain to them how, you know, if this guy's not Jesus, or if this guy's, you know, not a man of God, he's not going to be able to do anything. When we realize that and understand that he's able to do all things for us, that he's able to take care of those problems, he's able to take care of those things. When we learn to put our faith and trust in him that way, life begins to look different. We begin to look different. We may not have the same, we may have the same physical appearance, but the inward appearance, the way that we present and the way we carry ourselves, man, it's never going to be the same. And this guy, they cast him out. They got upset at him for answering all this stuff and kind of thought he was a smart aleck, I guess. They cast him out. And it said that Jesus heard cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Who is he that I might believe on him? This guy, that's what I told you, he didn't understand. He didn't know that he was dealing with Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus was the one that had just spit in his eyes. He didn't know Jesus was the one that just told him to go wash. He didn't know that Jesus was the one that had just restored his sight. He didn't really understand. He knew his name was Jesus, but he didn't understand that he was the Son of God. He didn't have a clue who this guy was that just made this whole mess on him and done all this for him. But he knew that there was a man named Jesus that happened to be walking by, and his friends were started talking and wanting to know, why in the world was this guy blind? And his friends started questioning and wanting to know who messed up and who sinned for it. That's what he knew. And he says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped. As he began to sit there, he questioned, "Who is this? Who is this that I might see and that I might believe on him?" Jesus said, "You've already seen him. You've already seen him, and you're talking to him right now. I'm Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one that happened by you today. I'm the one that spit on the ground and made that clay. I'm the one that spit in your eyes. And I'm the one that gave you back your sight. That's who I am. That's who this Jesus is that we're talking about." And I said, and he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped. See how simple that was? Do you see how simple and easy? He said, "Lord, I believe." That man trusted Christ right there. Because he had seen what Jesus was able to do in his life. He had seen what Jesus was able to, how he was able to heal him, how he was able to change his life. You might be sitting there this morning and you've got all manner of things going on. I don't know each and every person's situation this morning. I don't know where you stand. I don't know, whether you've trusted Christ or not. But you're sitting there wondering, who is he? Who is he? Maybe I'd like to believe on him. Maybe I'd like to trust in him. He's the one that's able to take away all sin. He's the one that's able to stand with you when nobody else will. He's the one that's able to be there in comfort and give you peace and guidance. Not when all the troubles go away, because there's still troubles. But he's there with you through them, and you don't go through it alone. Well, do I have to know everything about him? No, you don't have to know everything about him. Brantley didn't. The truth of the matter is, most of us that have trusted Christ probably didn't know all that much when we first trusted him. But we knew we needed something. We knew we needed someone. And so we made that step. We stepped out and we came and received him as our Savior. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning.